Thank you for downloading the latest podcast from the Canada-Europe Transatlantic Dialogue, housed at Carleton University in Ottawa. The interviewees were in conversation with Helen Morris. For terms of use, please refer to the publication section of our website at www.canada-europe-dialogue.ca.
I'm Cas Mudde. I'm a political scientist originally from the Netherlands and currently in the United States.
Could you set the scene for a Canadian audience? Who are the radical right parties in Europe and just how much support do they have?
Well, radical right parties are parties like the National Front of Jean-Marie Le Pen and now Marine Le Pen in France, or the British National Party in Britain, or the Party for Freedom of Geert Wilders in the Netherlands. And these are parties that are partly anti-immigrant. They are authoritarian. They tend to oppose the established parties. On average, they have about between 10 and 20%. But in many countries, they actually have virtually no support. So the differences in support within Europe are pretty large.
How much of a factor are views over immigration when it comes to determining levels of support for these far-right parties? Or are there other policy areas which are maybe of more importance in attracting support to far-right parties?
Immigration as well as integration is undoubtedly one of the most important issues for the radical right. A lot of the dissatisfaction that the voters of these parties have linked to the way that the established parties have dealt with the issue of immigration and integration. But there are other issues as well, such as crime, European integration, corruption among politicians. So immigration, integration are important, but they're not the only issue.
How do right-wing parties, or indeed right-wing politics in Canada, differ to what is found in Europe?
Well, Canada, in terms of right-wing parties, looks a little bit like Britain in the sense that you have a very large and powerful conservative party, which stretches well into the more radical right circles, which leaves very little space for a singular radical right party. Most of the parties on mainland Europe, the right-wing parties tend to be much more in the center, and therefore there's more competition and space on the radical right. The other difference is that Canada still has a very high level of political correctness over the debates on immigration, which is a bit similar to Europe in the 1980s and early 1990s, but that has changed in Europe, whereas it's still pretty predominant here in Canada.
Are radical right-wing parties in different European countries responding to existing demands from voters, or are they branding themselves in such a way as to attract increased levels of support?
They have a very solid message, which relates to nativism, which relates to authoritarianism and to populism. In addition to that, they try to play into issues that are on the agenda of the specific country at that point in time, which could be a scandal within politics. It could be a referendum about European integration, the war in Iraq, the position of Israel, all those kind of things. Most of the parties, particularly the more successful ones, are actually parties as most of the other parties. They just try to get as much support as possible, and they play into whatever issue is at hand. But the core issues on which they stand out are immigration, crime, and corruption.
What effect do the policies and support levels of the mainstream political parties have on the success of radical right parties in Europe?
Well, generally, we think of this as if they have this kind of relationship, inverse relationship with mainstream right-wing parties. So we always kind of think that the radical right profits from the mainstream right losing. But actually, quite a lot of voters from radical right parties do not come from the mainstream right. They come either from social democratic parties or they are new voters. There is a fairly complex relationship between the right and the radical right. On average, though, radical right parties tend to do a bit better when the mainstream right is in government, because then they can provide a right-wing alternative to it. Whereas when you have a left-wing government, the mainstream right-wing party can have a much fiercer rhetoric on things and can make more promises.
How does the current economic crisis in Europe affect the fortunes of right-wing parties?
Well, it's a common misperception that economic crisis leads to the success of extremist parties and radical parties. What it actually does is it delays these kind of things. So what you see is as soon as there's an economic crisis, economic issues become more important. People start to worry about unemployment, social benefits, etc. And on those issues, the radical right is not very trusted. So actually, in times of crisis, the radical right tends to do less good than before crisis. Now, the question is, how do they do after crisis? So as soon as people start to feel more secure about the crisis, their economic position, they might actually return with a vengeance to issues of crime, corruption, and immigration that might profit the radical right.
As political entities, are far-right parties, are they more short-lived than parties of other political stripes?
That's very difficult to say. They clearly are more short-lived than the established parties. But that's almost by definition because, A, they're established, and, B, these are the established parties that are still around. If you compare them to other new parties, there have been very few successful new parties since the 1970s, 80s. They tend to be as durable as green parties. They're more durable than all kinds of other idiosyncratic parties. But like almost all new parties, they really struggle to establish themselves. That said, of the new parties that have emerged over the last 20 years, it really is almost only green parties and radical right parties that have been able to sustain some type of success.
As a researcher in this field, do you receive feedback at a personal level from the parties that you're studying, and how do they react to your analysis?
Very little. Most parties do not really engage much with academia and perceive academics as left-wing and anti-them, which is actually accurate for the vast majority. They also don't really trust scholars. I at times get some kind of reflection when I speak to them, which is rare, actually. And sometimes they refer to your work. It's almost always when you say something that is useful for them. So, for example, I at times am less alarmist about the rise of the radical right than my colleagues, and they will praise me for that. But as soon as I will say, for example, that they are not a particularly competent party, they will lambast me as being someone who has no clue about anything.
What do you see happening in the future to radical right-wing parties in Europe? And I'm interested in, you know, how will this affect the way that politics is conducted, the way that democracy or either is enacted or is perceived to be working for the population?
It's very hard to say something about how things in Europe are going to play out. Because even if you limit it only to the EU member states, we're talking about 27 largely different countries. I think overall, the radical right is going to continue as it is. That means that it goes up and down in different countries at different periods of time. They clearly have affected some of the debate on immigration, on European integration, partly on crime. And I would foresee that continues. With regard to support for democracy, there is a dual effect. So on the one hand, they're kind of anti-establishment sentiment might make people more aware of problems in the establishment and therefore drop support for the way democracy is. But if they get more successful and they get actually integrated into the government, sometimes you see actually support for democracy go up, because that means that group of people who didn't feel represented before feels represented now. So you have dual effects.
And where would you like to see your research in this area heading in the future?
I'm particularly interested nowadays not so much in what the radical right does, but how societies and particularly states respond to challenges. And so my research these days goes more into the direction of how liberal democracies defend themselves against illiberal challenges, and particularly to try and assess how they can do that best without undermining their own liberal values.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.